Yes, yes, yes.
יש לנו שיעור, אצלנו זה שיפור, ללמוד ולפתוח את הלב ואת המוח. שיעור שכולו שמחה, עם משחקים, תיאטרון ושירה.
Very nice. And we, in our lesson, a special lesson before the Pesach, Exodus from Egypt. Same. Okay, good. So, today, we're talking about Pesach. Why is it called Pesach? Well, because during Makat HaBechorot, the Creator, he did not touch the homes of Israel. But Pesach, according to Kabbalah, what is it? It means to step over, Yasichi, to skip over the ego. Yes, skip over the ego. When a person comes outside above his ego, meaning steps over it, goes above it, therefore it's called Pesach. It's the same, like he did not harm the people of Israel. Those that have the right intention, they merit spiritual life, and those who have egoistic intentions are sentenced to death. There's another interpretation for it. Pesach, meaning that you say from the word pe, mouth, sach, talks, meaning that we tell about the coming out of the ego. And what does the Pesach holiday symbolize? You, come on. Yeah, no? Yudit? Freedom. Freedom of what? What are we lacking? Coming out of the ego. Coming out of the ego, meaning whoever feels that his character is evil, completely egoistic, thinks for himself, he is in, and what is he? In the Egyptian Exodus. This is called the Egyptian Exodus, and whoever wants to come out of it, he knows that it destroys him, destroys his whole life, and it's better if he'll be nice to others. He wants to come out of it. Then he already achieves redemption. What's the difference between before we come out of Egypt and after we come out of Egypt? Egypt is the ego. When you come out of it, what do you achieve? What do you merit? Yes? Before you come out, the ego controls and rules and wants only for itself and uses the others. And after you come out, we're free of the ego. Good. Okay. Yes, you can add, please. When we're still in Egypt, we're in the will to receive. And when we come out of Egypt, it's the desire to bestow. When we were in Egypt, we constantly wanted negative things, and when we came out of Egypt, meaning that we have already overcome it, and we've understood that there is a different goal in life, and we came out of Egypt, we came to freedom of the ego. And you there? When we were in Egypt, it was hard for us, and we said that as we're slaves, we want to influence the others, and when they came out of Egypt, everyone thought about all the others because it was easier for them. Good. Who else? When we were in Egypt, we wanted corporeal desires, and when we came out of Egypt, those were spiritual desires. Nice, yes. Before we came out of Egypt, before we came out of the ego, everyone had hatred and thought only about themselves. Hatred towards the others. And after we came out of the ego, we had the desires to only give and give and give. The more I'll give, the more I'll be happy. Good. And this was so simple. Please, yes? When we were in Egypt, we were only in the will to receive for ourselves, and as we came out, it was the desire to bestow. Yes, Baruch? The answer to your question, was it simple? It wasn't simple, because man's nature is the will to receive and to do against nature. It's not simple. So what do you do? So it's possible only to correct the intention, not man himself. Well, this is actually man himself. Man's intentions is the man. But how to do it? How to do it? By the group and the friends. Well, he said correctly, actually, by the group and the friends. Rav, books, and group. Precise. Who could add? How did they come out of Egypt? What does it say about it? But according to the Kabbalah, not simply according to the story in the Torah. They're in the end. Why is he sitting back there? They felt that they feel bad, so they wanted to escape the ego. Good, so by the blows. If a person feels that he feels bad, he's suffering. Let's say his mom yells, dad yells, everyone's, don't think the wrong. How do I get along with them? I want to escape. True. This is what you think? This is called escaping Egypt or not? No. So what is? You know, please. If we want to come out, we have to come out with everyone. And not to go ourselves, and if we go ourselves, then it's harder. Correct. But let's say I have problems in my class with the children, with my parents, and everyone puts pressure on me. What can I do? This is called Egypt or not? No. You there in the back, please. No, it doesn't matter. Egypt, it means actually when we're locked in the ego. So it doesn't mean that I'm included in the ego, no. Because you feel that it's something corporeal. What will the Egyptian exile is something internal, spiritual, and you? It's a barrier that you have to overcome, and I think in Egypt there were these barriers that the sons of Israel had to overcome. True, but you say, I think that all these things, they only allow us to rise above the ego. But what will you tell me? I am now in trouble, at home, at work, everywhere. In school, I feel bad. It's called Egypt or not? Yes, Judith. On the other hand, no, because when you're in Egypt, it means that you're in the ego and you can't come out. You can't detach. On the other hand, yes, because it's as if your ego doing all the problem. I don't think that my ego does these problems. Please, you in the back. It's because it's merely blows and disturbances that help you rise. So if I'm getting yelled at by my mom, my dad, by everyone, by the teachers, at school, everywhere, these are called blows. Yes? It's called blows. And what? And because of the blows, I already escape? I think that in some direction, yes, because I'm not simply being yelled at. I did something. I argued. It's my ego. It does count. But when will it be considered? In my opinion, too, because in Egypt, we get blows, and for this reason, we come out of Egypt. And also, in this life, we feel bad, and as a result, we'll come out of our ego. When do I start feeling, what state do I feel called Egypt? When I simply feel bad, it's called Egypt. The teacher's bad. Mom's putting pressure. It means that I'm in Egypt or not. And when is it considered Egypt? You in the back there, please.
When
When I'm in a state where I feel bad of being the receiver, meaning, could anyone else add over? Meaning that Egypt is called that I say about myself that I am bad. Not that I say about Creator or someone else there, or my parents. It's me. It's me that's not okay. Then it means that I am in Egypt. Clear? And then coming out of Egypt is coming out of myself, coming out of my ego. Therefore, we understand that all the blows that you receive from the different places that we receive, it's in order for us to feel where are we not okay to get out of it and not to stand around and argue saying, telling others that you're not okay, but for me to learn that I'm not okay and transcend my state, transcend my character, transcend my nature. Do you agree to come out of Egypt? I don't hear you're really willing that much. Yes, well. So, first of all, you have to acknowledge that the evil is in me. Yes? Well, first of all, you need the recognition of evil, because then we are already used to our ego doing bad things to us, and I'm already following it. We're not really capable of immediately saying, I don't want the ego any longer, I want to bestow. It's a bit hard, but if you really have a strong desire and you really want to come out of your ego, then it no longer depends on the ego. Immediately it paves the way for you. Okay, good. So this is how we come out, but before we come out, there is very hard work. Hard work. But on the other hand, we're being told that the sons of Israel, they built in Egypt nice cities. You remember their name? Pitom and Ramses. Nice cities. On the one hand, and on the other hand, it says about them that these were miserable cities. What does it mean, miserable cities? Yes, Baruch? Miserable from the word danger. What is the danger? That it's dangerous to come up to this thing. Why? You know why? Yes, please. This is a very hard question. Pitom from the word suddenly, and Ramses from the word breaking up into pieces, meaning that Pitom and Ramses says each time I build something for myself within my ego and it's being destroyed. Really, you feel nothing till you really reach this, like this big general crisis like today. This is on the one hand. But on the other hand, why is it a danger that I could remain in my ego? And my ego is if constantly says, I'll fulfill you, do more, do this, do that. And then I can constantly follow it till I completely disappear in it. And this is called danger. Therefore, these cities, they're both nice, and also they're the place of danger. And afterwards, what does it mean that the Pharaoh, that he told them that he won't let them build? Tevin, what is it? Yes? Rocks are made out of Tevin. So what are rocks? Rocks, from what word does it come? Understanding, the bina, avana, that our ego makes it so hard for us, that the Pharaoh is called our great big ego, he makes it so hard for us that we don't even understand where we are. Yosef says, I won't give you rocks, you should prepare it for yourselves. Afterwards comes the Moses. Tell me, but Moses, who was he all in all? He came, where did he come from? From Midian. Good, okay. And for 40 years, he was, first of all, in the first 40 years, in the house of Pharaoh. Okay, so He learned all the customs of the house of Pharaoh, meaning the whole ego, studied by him. But with respect to Pharaoh, who was he? Not grandchild nor a son. Adopted, meaning he doesn't belong to the home of Pharaoh the Moses, meaning we have such a force inside us called Moses that Batya found him, and therefore he called it Moshe, from the word Limshoch. She pulled him out. But actually, in each one of us, there is this force called Moses, the force that pulls us out to freedom, out to spirituality. And it's called Moses. But for the time being, this force undergoes by us different modifications. It's educated at the house of Pharaoh, tied to my ego very strongly. And afterwards, how do I discern that this force is really by me and doesn't agree to surrender under the ego? What happened there in Egypt when we say about Moses that he came out from under the rulership of Pharaoh? Another ah there in the end? When he killed the Egyptian. Good. He killed the Egyptian. What does it mean? He discovered that in him there is a certain evil force that kills the Jew in him, the unity, the inclination, direction for the Creator. Therefore, he killed that power. He doesn't want to use it. It means that the power of the Moses kills the power of evil. And then the Pharaoh, the great Pharaoh, wanted to kill Moses. What does it mean? How is Pharaoh, being so great, and it's his nephew, although adopted, but nonetheless he's a prince, how did he want to kill him for some Egyptian? Why was he so? I think because Pharaoh, there is a feeling that the Egyptians they have the same powers as the Pharaoh. And if the Moses killed an Egyptian, it means that they're not equal in force. They're not exactly. Because he's adopted, then he's not really Egyptian. Therefore, okay, Yudit, because Pharaoh is the will to receive, and when Moses kills the will to receive, then Pharaoh is angry at him and wants to get even. Is there anything to add, please? Because he thinks that maybe later on he'll kill a few more and it could, take over and please you. Because the Moses, he is Jewish, and it's possible that inside him there is something small of a Jew that can spread in him and you can become a leader. So he was afraid, he wanted to get rid of him. So if the Moses is a force against the Egyptian, against the evil inclination, and although he killed some Egyptian, this one Egyptian, but it's possible if he's against the Pharaoh, and therefore the Pharaoh has to kill him. And then what happens? The Moses escapes. But before this, we have something from overseas, please. We have a picture from David from Boston. He's 6. Can we see it? Okay. Ooh. It's Pharaoh and the Creator above, and Moses and Egypt, slavery. Great, really, really a terrific, terrific picture. Excellent. So, Moses, he escapes. He escapes where? To the desert. He meaning that he has prepared all of Egypt, all of the house of Pharaoh, all the wealth. Egypt was back then the center of the world. He had anything and everything he needed and wanted. He was prepared to leave it all and go into the desert. What does it mean when a person feels desert inside, yes? He feels bitter. Okay, please. He has no sense in life, please. He feels a deficiency, yes. Everything is empty, only sand and sand. There's nothing about it. So you go back to the desert, or what? You go back to Pharaoh's home and you ask for pardon, and that's it. Because he had a full desire, he broke free of the ego, so he didn't have a desire for anything, so he didn't mind. Moshe speaks. What speaks? The desert midbar from the sphere, from midbar desert. It's because I'm empty, like in the desert, and I have nothing. But it's freedom. In the desert, there's no one to rule me, meaning that I escape my ego, even though I'll have nothing. Only not to be under the governing, the rulership of the ego. This means that you first of all escaped into the desert. And it's always that way. Wherever it says that he goes out into the desert, escapes into the desert, this is the meaning. So, for example, I want to come out of my ego, so what, I'll go to the desert? Your inner desert. I'm ready, whatever happens, to come out of my ego. But I won't be under his rulership. I'll be free. I'll have nothing besides the sense of freedom from the ego. This means going into the desert, inner desert. This was in Moses' internality, or he went into his inner desert, both into the inner desert and also the external desert. All that's written in the Torah, this is how it was. That's how it was. And also we're talking about each and every person, that there's both the Moses, the Pharaoh, the everything's in them. A man is a small world, meaning that in us there are all these qualities that the Torah tells us about, and then we have to find these qualities in us. So we're talking about each and every one, that includes the whole world, and we're also talking about how it is in our world, in both planes. You want to add? Yes. Asking, please. In the book of Bereshit, it's told about the second wife of Abraham. Sarah said that he sent her and she went into the desert. So what, she left the pleasures or what? Ooh, nice questions. We'll talk about it. We'll take some term. It's good that you've asked. Remind me about it. We'll work this way. We'll take some term, let's say desert, or mountains, or herd, or herders, and we'll talk about it. What is it in man? Each and every term, its definition, and in all places, where and what is it written about? Why suddenly this or that? Or let's say there is Esav and Yaakov, one against the other, but we'll work on it, but we'll continue now. So according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, now Moses, he is by Iton. He was the priest of Midian. What does it mean for a person that Moses, the point in my heart, now escapes into the desert? It means that I came out from under the rulership of the Pharaoh. And where did I come to? Some place of Midian, some power of Midian. It's neither a creator, nor Jew, nor anything. What do you think it is? I think that the environment influenced them. Of course it did, but what does it mean, Midian priest? What is Midian in our path? What do you think that a person that wants to escape his Egypt, his ego, has to move to some place called Midian? What do you think it is? Yes? And also please give it there. A descent. There is no greater descent than Egypt. I forgot. Okay. Disturbance? It's a disturbance, of course, but nonetheless, it's an advancement on behalf of Moses. What does the Torah tell us? Man is incapable of immediately coming out of his great ego, out of his Pharaoh. Immediately, into the will to receive, to bestow, sorry. This is one thing. On the other hand, what is said, Moses alone, it is a force existing in each one of us. We're born with it. It's called Moses that draws us to spirituality, but this force is not created in order to escape us. It needs all the qualities in us called the sons of Israel. It has to also bring them out. So what does it mean now? Look, in order for the Moses to connect to all the sons of Israel, he now needs to enter Midian. He receives from Midian, from Itro, the strength, the power, the force, the mind, how to reach the people, how to reach the Pharaoh, and then to deliver the sons of Israel from Egypt, meaning there has to be something in the middle between the evil force like the Pharaoh and the good force, which are the sons of Israel, and afterwards the, which are called Midian. Therefore, what does it say? What did Moses do there? He gets married. He takes from their force. Tzipporah. Do we have a tzipporah here? Well, possible. So, he takes force from the Itro. You know that afterwards the Itro comes to them after the reception of the Torah. Yes, and what did the Itro do? There's the Parashat Itro. Well, come on, tell me. Give it to Tzipporah, please. He came and he saw that Moses, he gives them the different ministers, things that if some ministers couldn't solve, meaning that Itro, you're right, I'll explain. Itro explained to Moses how to work with the sons of Israel, how to arrange all the sons of Israel according to whose greater, smaller groups, currents, streams, to be managers. He actually built, he told Moses how to build it. He built the order among the children of Israel. The Itro is in the middle. He's on behalf of the nations on the world, of the world on the one hand. On the other hand, he helped to do it. And I'll tell you moreover. This force of Itro also advanced because it always helps the force of the Moses or the force of the sons of Israel to connect with the nations of the world. Meaning now that we're going to connect with the nations of the world and pass the Torah on to them, also the same force called Itro, will speak in us and will help us do these actions. Meaning, for the first time, the Itro comes, this force awakens in us, helps us connect with the Jews in us and the Pharaohs in us. And the second time we came out of Egypt, when we already transcend our ego, then this force also awakens and also arranges for us this whole order and our will to bestow. I mean, this force is a very important force. Okay. And then Moses, he returns from the Itro. He returns without a wife and children. Without. Okay. Because afterwards he goes to back to take them. He comes, and then what happens here? How is he accepted? Is it written? Yes, well. They accept him nicely. And then the rumor, it comes to, who are these Jews? These are all desires that do feel themselves evil. The children of Israel sighed as reason of the bondage. They wanted to come out, but they don't have the strength to do it. They don't have anyone to pull them. They don't have the Moses, their guide. And then they accept him nicely. And then the time comes, he feels an urge to detach from his ego, but nonetheless not strong enough. If he turns to the ego doesn't let him break free. And then the 10 blows pass by. These 10 blows, why did they pass by? All in all, we have how many pieces do we have in our structure? 10 sefirot, they're called. Sefirah is from the word sapir, meir, shines. Each desire shines if it's free, if it's without an ego. Then for each such desire, we have to feel in it the ego. And then by the blow, we detach. That's how you refer to me, egoistically. Suddenly you feel you're an egoist. And then you tear off from the relation towards me, this egoism. You're in love towards me, let's hope. And you detach from this egoistic desire. It means that you underwent the first blow. Now you have an ego towards the whole group, let's say. So you feel it as a blow. You don't want to work with this ego. You're ready to get rid of it. And then it means that you went through the second blow. And so with the 10 blows, it means the person acknowledged that his ego is a bad ego, terrible ego, and he has to come out of it no matter what. Meaning the 10 blows, we feel them inside us in the final recognition of evil. Before coming completely from out of the control of the evil. These are called 10 blows. Are there any questions? What, so many questions? No. I want us to finish. And then what happens after the 10 blows? But who can explain to me but the way Kabbalah tells us about it? What happens in man? Yes, Baruch? Maybe also the 10 blows according to Kabbalah? Okay. After the 10 blows, like you said, man detached. Finally, it's the recognition of evil. He acknowledges that it's all evil. He detaches from it. After he detaches, he comes out of Egypt, comes out of his will to receive, and then they start going in the desert. Man starts walking the desert, not them. Them, it means those desires that he is left with which he yearns to reach spirituality. In them, he feels desert. And when they go in the desert, then they go and they reach Yam Suf. Then the Pharaoh unburdened his heart, meaning that the ego in man burns once again, and then the ego comes to capture the will to receive, to try and tempt them not to go to the will to receive, to the will to bestow. Yes, and then it seems to me so that because of the strong desire then wanting to bestow not to receive, although it is imprinted in man, the will, the nature in order to receive, then Yam Suf is imprinted in. First of all, in man there's this inclination, this hero called, how's it called? Nachshon. Good. That jumps into the ocean, meaning in man there's such a inclination, such a point that he doesn't care even to you know, drown in the ocean. He's prepared any price. And then this way, after you jump this way, then the ocean opens up. You want to add or to ask? To add, please. You also asked Baruch, what do the 10 blows symbolize in Kabbalah? They symbolize the degrees of the will to receive. Yes, meaning each blow is stronger because we have 10 sefirot, and according to these 10 sefirot, we have the 10 blows. Nice. Who could add the interpretation, not questions? When Moses was in the Yor, therefore, when he told Moses to strike upon the Yor, he couldn't, so he let Moses do it. Okay. Please, today we're talking interpretation according to Kabbalah. And then they reach Yam Suf, the Red Sea. A person sees that it's the end. Yam Suf comes from the word Sof, end. It's already the boundary of Egypt. It's the barrier, and he has to break through no matter what. Even if he dies, jumps into the ocean, the stormy ocean, these terrible waters, it's something terrible. It's not good waters. And he's ready for it, only not to stay by the Pharaoh. And now it's clear to us, why does the Creator strengthen the ego? It means that he has strengthened the heart of the Pharaoh. He has sent to them the mixed multitude to catch the sons of Israel and return them. Why? Because if it were not for those that come from the back, this cavalry, then the sons of Israel wouldn't have entered the ocean. This way they see that it's a blow and the Pharaoh is coming now and with his last strength he'll grab them. So a person feels that he has to break through the barrier, and he breaks through the barrier even though he enters the sea, doesn't matter what, and then the sea opens up. And they pass. And this is called the tearing open of the Red Sea. How many boys do we have asking questions? Four. Sons, sorry. How many sons? Four. How many glasses do we drink of wine? Four. What else do we have? Four. The four words of redemption. Yes, good. According to Kabbalah, it doesn't matter. Okay. Four boys. What else? You there in the back? Four quarries.
No.
Well, four, I forgot. Four names of Pesach. The 400 years of Pesach. Yes, Moses, in the back, quickly.
No.
Four discernments, okay?
No.
Four names for the Pesach. Four names for the Pesach. What names? The holiday of the Matzah, of the holiday of the Pesach, the holiday of the Matzah, the holiday of spring, and the holiday of freedom. Good, okay. And what else? Let Baruch answer. Okay, in short. Yes, Baruch, well. There's also the four kinds. There's the four kinds. We have four seasons, we have the still vegetative and speaking four parts of creation. What else do we have four? Four mothers. Three fathers. Okay, in short. Where does this come from, all this four? From the four phases of direct light. Because the light is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei-Avaya. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is above everything, and from there comes this partition into four. Therefore, we have four exiles and four redemptions. And how many exiles did they go through? All of them. And now we are in the final redemption. Therefore, it's called the whole redemption. Why is it called the whole redemption? Who was salvated from Israel? The sons of Israel. And now we have to discover everyone, all of humanity needs to get rid of its ego. Therefore, it's called the final redemption. What does the clothes symbolize of the sons of Israel and the Egyptians? Does it symbolize anything? The clothes. Yes, but we have to learn this separately. It's a lot. There are also four kinds of clothes. The hat, the garment itself, the belt and the pants. Yes. Sandals. What is matzah in spirituality? Ooh, we forgot about the matzah. What is matzah? The bread of poverty. What is poverty in spirituality? What does rich and what does poor mean? Yes? It seems to me that rich is someone who's not satisfied by what he has and he wants more and more, then he's not rich. He's simply an egoist. I think that the rich is actually a man who is satisfied by what he has. Yes, also true, but you there behind you? Rich is the will to receive, and poor is the will to bestow. Ooh, you forgot many times, and now you answered nicely. Very good. So, who knows? What does it mean? Bread of poverty, if so, is? Quality and quantity? Quality and quantity? No. Pass it on. I don't exactly know. I think that it was written in the page that he prefers to eat something non-tasty and remain in the stove than to receive something good and stay with the Pharaoh. Also true. Symbolizes for us the will to bestow. Instead of the rich bread, a bread which is what? Matzah, it means bestow. And the ordinary bread is reception. Because there is what? What's the difference between a matzah and the ordinary bread? Matzah is more than 18 minutes. That it goes sour, turns sour, and it's really thin. Ah, okay. Yes, please. You use bread and also water, and water in spirituality symbolizes the ego, so in a matzah, in order for it to be the will to bestow, well, you use a bit of water, because without water, the will to receive can't exist. It's your query, I understand. Therefore, in the matzah, you measure the water precisely in a very, very, stenchy way. There are special measures, how much flour and against it how much water in order to make a matzah. Are we interested in this during the Pesach? We'll have meetings.
No? Can? Can?
If I don't like matzah, it means you have to eat matzah whether you want it or not, only during the first eve of Pesach. It's a must. You know this. We don't have to eat matzah simply so during the Pesach. It's possible not to eat it. But in the first night, you have to eat it. We'll have meetings and subjects for this. Of course, it's a Pesach. We'll learn about the Pesach during the Pesach, and then you will ask questions. Only the questions. Not me asking, but you asking. And now a song! Yes, yes, yes.